right now on VFN TV, the attack on Brussels, Belgium. We're also going to be talking about Bridget Gabriel's amazing story, how Islamists were attacking the Christians and Lebanese and how God spared their family. We're also going to talk about Secretary of State says that ISIS is committing genocide against the Christians in the Middle East and so much more. It's all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground. And, you know, we're going to, based on, you know, and I pray it doesn't happen. That's my desire.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel, always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, well, you're kind of a hothead. We'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
Something
to He's just wonderful.
This year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through the remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside the
church. Today is a divine exchange, and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
We're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so You know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related? But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Phase 2 of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. You know, right now I just want to say that, you know, our hearts go out to all of those in Belgium right now. I mean, this attack that took place, you know, your heart breaks because it's one attack after the other. And I'm sorry, this is just not something that any of us could get used to. The tragic loss of life. And I want to say from the onset of this program that this is a parental guidance program, because we are going to show you some images. You know, at the same way that we will never get used to this, may we never get used to seeing the what happens to people. I mean, we have something that happens here, at least in the United States, where we tend to cover tragedy. We tend to put blankets and we try to hide ourselves from the reality. And it tends to desensitize us and to numb us from the pain that people go through. And when we look at buildings being destroyed, that's one thing. But when we see innocent people that were standing in an airport waiting to catch a flight, and all of a sudden, because a bomb went off because of terrorists, now ISIS is taking claim, that's another thing. Arms, legs, people bleeding. Well, I have to tell you that as reports are right now, we understand that there's 34 people that died in this attack. Over 200 people are injured. And it was three terrorists that set these bombs off. Some of these bombs were filled with nails that reports are scattered everywhere into people's just bodies and faces. And it's just hurtful. It's just amazing what takes place and the collateral damage that occurs. And so Brussels right now, they're in mourning, and they're trying to apprehend every single person that's responsible for these heinous attacks. And we want to encourage you from the onset of this program to pray, to allow yourself not to get hardened and to be dismissive and just to say, hey, this is just another attack. This is our new normal. But to really allow yourself to empathize and say, wow, I mean, that could have been me. In today's program, we're going to be sharing with you a word that Rick Joyner actually shared about what just took place in Brussels and potentially what could await us here in the United States, as well as sharing with you Bridget Gabrielle's amazing story. She was a Christian who lived in the Middle East, and she saw firsthand what Islamists were doing to Christians. And her story is really just an amazing story. It's the hand, the deliverance, a hand of God that rescued their family. But before we do, I want you to listen and watch Dale Hurd as he gives us an update as to what happened in Brussels. Watch this.
What does society do? A free society, it cannot allow itself to be victimized as is happening in Belgium. They've got to take action, and they've got to take swift action. Our CBN News European reporter Dale Hurd is with us. Dale, you've reported from Brussels. It has become a hotbed of jihadists. Tell us about it.
I called it the jihadi barracks of Europe. It's been a welcome home for extremists for years. 4 years ago, when I needed to talk to a terrorist in Belgium, I called him on his cell phone, and I met him out in the open in a cafe in Antwerp, and he's now in prison. So that's the kind of environment that they've had there. I've wondered why this hasn't happened sooner.
Well, why do they pick Brussels? Is it because of NATO or the EU?
Or because there are a lot of terrorists in Brussels. So, you know, one of the stops was near the European Union. But security has been so lax there, it's a very easy target. I was with EU leaders a few weeks ago, and every time I'm in the European Union, I'm struck by the lack of security relative to what you would see in the U.S. Capitol. And I always wondered, do they really think that they're never going to be hit? And maybe they aren't, but they were.
As you say, this airport, subway, easy targets, I mean, do they come in to Brussels from other countries looking for opportunities to strike?
No, and you know what? This is an important point. After the Paris attacks, the governments in Europe talked about the threat from the Middle East, from ISIS. The threat was already in Europe, okay? The terrorists were already there, living in Molenbeek. Belgium is going to need help to deal with this. We used to joke that if you walked through Brussels airport with a hand grenade and you dropped it, a soldier would stop you and hand it back to you, okay? Even after 9/11, I thought security was, frankly, a joke. And I'm not sure Belgium is up to the job to handle this.
Well, is it the politically correct philosophy that's causing this, or they just don't care?
Yeah, I think that there's brainwashing has occurred. I think that tomorrow people will really appear on the streets with real posters and apologize to Muslims for provoking this attack. And in the media, you have all this politically correct pressure on politicians to not be racist, okay, and to not single out a group, because anyone could commit these attacks, except only one group commits these attacks.
You say you are being facetious, of course, but is there truth in that, that they literally would apologize to the Muslims for inciting them to this violence?
They've done that in Sweden after the sex attacks. People came out and said on Twitter, on Facebook, I'm sorry that you've been singled out for this because, you know, you have such a hard time here in Sweden and we treat you so badly.
What's the solution, or is there one? You think they'll ever find a solution to that?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a stupid strategy by Muslims. But you know what? It isn't a strategy. You know, the right strategy would be what a terrorist in Belgium told me 4 years ago, which is we're going to have a lot of children and simply take over the country that way. Blowing up people is not a strategy. We as Christians know that it's a blood sacrifice to Allah. This is a spiritual service that they're doing when they blow themselves up and they blow up infidels. It's not a good strategy. It's religion.
Dale Hurd, thank you for the tremendous, insightful perspective you've been bringing on this. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing that we won't open our eyes? It's clear in the Quran what Muhammad said. It's clear the teachings in these jihadi madrasas and then the jihadi other enclaves wherever this teaching goes forth. But yet nobody will act.
This is amazing. This is clear. This is jihad. This is radical Islam. And how many more innocent people have to die? And how much more blood has to be shed? When we get right back from this break, we're going to be talking about what Rick Joyner just released regarding these attacks and what potentially could be awaiting America. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Today, the earth is being overrun by darkness and desolation, terrorism, hatred, divisiveness. Who or what is going to turn this tide? As Christians, we are charged with living a life of influence and power just as Jesus himself did. So what would the world look like if every church existed as a powerhouse that equipped its people to fundamentally change the world around them? That is the Apostolic Church Arising.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, just when this attack was done, Rick Joyner actually put a blast out, put a report out on Facebook, you know, expressing some of his feelings about what has just taken place and basically what, you know, potentially what awaits the United States. Mm-hmm. Steve, could you read his statement? Because I think it's imperative to where we are today, and I think it'll give us a light moving in the future.
Brussels is rocked by bombs at the airport and multiple subway stations. London is bracing for multiple attacks, and every nation in the EU is on high alert while America sleeps. Brussels, the capital of the EU and the headquarters of NATO, is in virtual lockdown. Europe is wide open for such attacks now because of two flawed policies that are looking increasingly naive for these times. One, their open border policy.
And I want to say about that is real important. Look what's happening in Europe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're accepting all of these refugees. They're losing refugees. They don't even know where they're at. And it's completely just wide open. And to think that just in the United States, that Mexican, you know, our border there mm-hmm. on Mexico is so wide open. Kamal Saleem from Coom Ministry says that several years ago, there was over 450,000 radical jihadists right now mm-hmm. in the United States. That number could be well over a million mm-hmm. by now. Now what?
And it just goes to show you that just the open threat that we have, just the unlimited potential that it could be happening right now.
Every day, every single day that we don't experience an attack on the United States. I mean, we just had what happened in California. So, I mean, it has happened. But if you think of how shortly, I mean, Paris, San Bernardino, now Brussels, all within less than probably a year's period of time, it seems like these attacks are increasing and they really want to do more damage in the United States. Mm-hmm. Steve, could continue to share what Rick says here.
Number two, the attempt at multiculturalism that allows Islamic enclaves that are basically self-governing but are now looking much more like big Trojan horses for terrorist cells. We can expect these attacks to increase, hitting cities in multiple places at once for maximum impact. The U.S. is the most prized of all targets for Islamic terrorists, and we have been made the most vulnerable by our own government policies that have failed to protect our borders.
What's so important about that is that, listen, if you're going to come to the United States, come to assimilate, come mm-hmm. to be a part. You know, e pluribus unum, although we're many, we are one, and we can stand together, even though we may come from different countries, different backgrounds, even different religions, if you can agree with the Constitution of the United States. But what happens if you come to this country and you think you have your own agenda, listen, together we, you know, stand, united we stand, you know, yeah. apart we fall. And that's why a constitution is so important. But it seems like in Europe, they're just letting them come and assimilate.
Yeah.
And not assimilate and just kind of do what you want. Just kind of live in our country. And what they do, they'll just take over by population alone, right, and they'll bring in their own agenda.
Yeah, and if you got people coming in that has a separate vision than what's already been established in that nation, you have division, and the Bible even says that any nation divided against itself, it's going to fall. Mm-hmm. Continuing on, it says, it is likely that we will soon be looking back and marveling at how naive we have been to allow this. But until there is change, we must all learn to be vigilant, becoming watchmen for our cities and communities. We also must resist reacting in fear, knowing that there is no safer place than we could ever be in the will of God.
And that's so true, because, you know, so many times what happens is that when people have take on a spirit of fear, then the first thing they want to do is be able to relinquish all their rights. And they say, listen, just go ahead and spy on me and spy on all of us. In fact, put a camera in my house and watch me and everyone else 24 hours
for
a day.
Safety.
And it's like, listen, that's not safety. That's lunacy. We don't want to give up our Fourth Amendment right to privacy, but we want the safest place that we could all be is inside the will of God. And there is a peace, there is security, there is a foundation of just being protected on the shadow of, you know, of God under his wings, mm-hmm, that could give us true, true peace.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's encouraging too when you look at it in regards to having the awareness and the fact of, like, who are you putting your trust in? Because if you're looking at just a policy to give you the peace, to give you the clarity, then you're going to be running for more policies, but keeping your eyes on God, that's where it keeps that safety. We also must resist, knowing what to recognize as a threat is important, but far more important is keeping our eyes on the Lord, abiding in him, and not letting anything steal the peace that we have by abiding in the Prince of Peace. It is as we abide in his peace that we can more easily be directed by him and effectively pray for our communities, law enforcement, and our leaders.
Wow, that's so, so important. That's why we're always talking about abiding, mm-hmm, iabide.org. Listen, we have a simple plan that you can get absolutely free to learn how to abide and remain in God. Listen, God's called us to hear his voice and to be united with him so we can be one spirit with God, walking with him. Listen, when God becomes the Lord of our life and we give him everything, we're in this amazing, intimate relationship where we can actually hear God's instruction, direction, his wisdom, his counsel. And when we're following the ways of God, not only will we be protected, but we can actually be a light and a warning to others. We have so much more to discuss about this, including Bridget Gabriel's amazing testimony, all when we get right back from this break. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. You don't want to miss it. Partner for any amount, and it's yours. Check it out right now.
I'm very excited about today's offer. It's offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. We serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were, then they become. He has created us, mankind, in his image and in his likeness. When God speaks over our lives, we can hold on to those words and speak them out, holding on knowing that they'll come to pass just as God said they would. It's easy to speak and agree with what we can see, but when it comes to what we can't see, that is where faith kicks in, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Though we're not perfect, God's word is perfect, and we can trust and have faith in his word no matter our struggles on the journey of life. We saw struggles that took place in Abraham's life, but it didn't change the fact that he is the father of faith. You'll be challenged as we remember God does miracles amongst us, not because we obey some law or are perfect, but because we believe his word. Today's offer is offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. That's offer 2003. For any gift whatsoever, just go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompt. Or you can write to VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2003. That's offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
is the Word of God. He is the messenger. He is the humble king. He is the bread of life. He was rejected and abandoned and mocked and beaten. He was bruised and pierced. He was crucified and buried, and the nails couldn't hold him, and the cross couldn't finish him. Those stones could not keep him. Death could not defeat him. Our ransom, our redeemer, our deliverer, our savior. He is mighty, he is glorious, he is holy, he is exalted, he is risen.
I'm so stupid. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. And if your children are struggling in school and saying things like that, Dr. Kathy Cook has a suggestion.
We're word smart, we think with words. When we're excited, we probably talk. When we are being logic smart, we think with questions, and we love it when things make sense. When we are being picture smart, we might like fiction and history because it comes alive in our mind's eye. When we're being music smart, we think with rhythms and melodies, and we can drive people nuts with our humming and our toe tapping. When we're being body smart, we think with movement and touch, and we can be the classic athlete, but we can also be the dancer, the clay sculptor, or the actor.
All of us have some of those different smarts, and it's good to encourage your child to understand that. Learn more at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. So obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it, you can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country, in that order, and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow. Well, listen, we don't want to waste just another moment, because we really want you to hear Bridget Gabrielle's amazing story. You know, we've had Bridget on our program before in VFN TV, but we've never had her share her testimony the way she shared it when she was in Lebanon as a young girl. And I mean, her parents had to live in hiding, Steve, and they thought that someone was going to come and rescue them, and nobody came until the very end. But I want you to hear her very own words and what that was like to live under that type of trauma, because we're going to be sharing some news about John Kerry, the Secretary of State, and how he just designated that what ISIS is doing to the Christians in the Middle East is genocide, and there are huge implications as a result of that. But I want you to watch Bridget Gabrielle as she shares this story.
I was born into Lebanon, which used to be the only majority Christian country in the Middle East. People don't know that. We were open-minded, we were fair, we were tolerant, we were multicultural. We prided ourselves on our multiculturalism. We had a great economy. Lebanon was Paris of the Middle East, the banking capital of the Middle East. So by the time I was born, my parents, my father was a real estate. He owned a lot of real estate. He had retired. We had a restaurant. And we lived a good life. I had a chauffeur to drive me to school. I went to private school. It was an amazing life in Lebanon then.
Here she was, this little girl, an answer to mom and dad's prayer.
Yeah.
And bombs then started dropping on your lovely home, the restaurant your daddy owned.
Yeah. Well, you know, our life changed. You know, Lebanon was the ideal picture of multiculturalism. It was Paris of the Middle East, you know, because we opened our border to everybody who wanted to come to Lebanon because we wanted to share with them the westernization which we had created in the heart of the Middle East. Mm. Muslims used to send their children to our country to get educated because we had built the best universities in the Middle East. They graduated and worked in our economy. So it was an amazing time in Lebanon. And fortunately, all that began to change as the Muslims became the majority and we became the minority, simply because of the way they multiply. I mean, we started our country as majority Christian, over 67% Christians.
Wow.
But the Muslims marry multiple wives and they have many children. While we Christians, you know, got married, you know, one woman for life. We have maybe 3-4 children by a stretch. From the time our kids are born, we start thinking what school we're going to send them to, what college we're going to send them to. The Muslims, on the other hand, have many children from multiple wives. And you know, they have 10 kids. And when you look at the end of the day, the population changed so fast, and it only took 20, 30 years. So by the 60s, when I was born into Lebanon, Lebanon became majority Muslim. The problem was contained until the influx of the Palestinians out of Jordan in the early 70s into Lebanon. And Lebanon was the only country to accept the third wave of Palestinian refugees, even though their brethren, their Muslim brethren, did not want to accept them. But we, being Christians and being, you know, we want to help the underdog and do unto others what you want others to do unto you, and we take care of everybody. Once they came to Lebanon, they put their heads together with the Muslims in Lebanon and declared war on the Christians. And actually, the beginning of what they called the civil war in Lebanon started at a church when a Muslim radical, a Palestinian, walked into a church service on a Sunday morning and started shooting at worshipers. 4 people killed and about 100 injured. And that was the beginning of the all-out Lebanese war. And while people would call it, oh, it's the civil war in Lebanon, the war in Lebanon was not just between, you know, Lebanese Christians and Lebanese Muslims fighting each other. Mm-hmm. The war in Lebanon was the start of Islamist rising worldwide coming to help the Palestinians in Lebanon, help Yasser Arafat create a base from which to fight Israel, kill the Jews, and throw them into the sea. And he was able to use Lebanese democracy, Lebanese open-mindedness, Lebanese fairness to topple our democracy. And that's how my world changed. They bombed my home in 1975. We were the last 2 Christian towns left in South Lebanon as the Muslims began advancing into the country and literally taking over military bases. I lived underneath a military base, the last military base not to be taken over by the Muslims. And so they were trying to bomb the military base, trying to take it over. And that's when the bombs fell short and ended up landing in my home. And that's when my life turned upside down. And that's how I ended up wounded, and I ended up living in a bomb shelter. We ended up living in a bomb shelter after I left the hospital with my parents. But my home, we went back home, but my home was no longer the home I left. My home was destroyed. We ended up living in a bomb shelter underground in an 8x10 room without electricity, without water, and very little food. We would walk under the bombs and dig out different dandelions and different vegetation that grew around our bomb shelter because it was the only greenery we had to eat. In order to get some water, we would crawl under snipers' bullets because we were surrounded by Muslim snipers shooting at us. And we would crawl under sniper's bullets to a nearby spring to get some water. And every time we left the bomb shelter, my mother and I would say our last goodbyes because we did not know if we're going to come back alive or dead, just to get a drink of water. We lived in the mountains, so it was cold in the wintertime. It would snow. It was freezing, and we didn't have any heat. And my father would walk out and break out the twigs from the trees around our bomb shelter. And we would light a fire in the bomb shelter, and my father would pour kerosene or benzene on the bomb shelter, on the fire, and light the fire. And many nights we would huddle around the fire to warm up. And because we did not have any ventilation, we only had the door entry into the bomb shelter. Many nights we would pass out because of carbon monoxide poisoning. And we had an agreement, because there were three of us, my mother, my father, and I, that whoever woke up first would drag the other two outside and slap them on the face to wake up, because many nights we would pass out because of carbon monoxide poisoning. This became my existence. And I remember at the age of 13 years old, sitting in the bomb shelter. And we got a tip from our Christian militias who were protecting us at the time. And this is after 3 years. And after 3 years, we would listen to the news. My father would listen to the news on the radio, on a little, black transit radio on batteries, just to hear what's happening around us. And my father would say, America's going to come help the Christians. All the big Christian countries are going to wake up and see what's happening to the Christians in Lebanon, and they're going to come help the Christians. Britain is going to come help the Christians. France is going to come. Australia is going to come. And we waited and we waited, and nobody came. And when we went into our bomb shelter in the beginning, it was actually a storage room for my father's restaurant. That's where my father stored all the liquor and all the big boxes of whatever he ordered to the restaurant. And I remember for the first week, we slept in a cardboard box that my mother put a blanket over because we thought, oh, it's only going to be a few days. And then, of course, all these big nations are going to wake up and see the slaughter that's happening to the Christians. And of course, 2 weeks went by, 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 2 years went by, and we realized the world forgot about us. Maybe the world watched what was happening and the massacres, because the Muslims would surround the Christians. Remember, the whole war started at a church, when a Muslim walked into and started shooting on a Sunday morning service at a church. And so the Muslims started surrounding Christian towns and slaughtering them. And, they would walk into a bomb shelter. They would find a mother and a father hiding with a baby in a bomb shelter. They would take the baby, tie one leg of the baby to the mother and another leg to the father, and pull the parents apart, splitting the child in half.
Oh my God.
They would walk into our churches. They would urinate and defecate on the altar using the Bible as toilet paper and then torch our churches. And then, look what happened at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. Remember the siege in Bethlehem?
Yes.
What was it, 10 years ago, when the Palestinians walked in and they just basically desecrated the church? We didn't hear any blurb out of the Vatican. We didn't hear anybody complain. Here was the birth of Christ. And this is how they treated it. They had no respect for anything holy, especially if it had to do with us. It was amazing. I remember at the age of 13, sitting in the bomb shelter because one of our Christian militia stopped by and he said, Brigitte, I just want you to know that tonight they're going to launch an attack against us. We heard a lot of chatter on the radio. And he said, if I don't see you tomorrow, I wish you a merciful death. And he left. And I remember sitting in my bomb shelter sobbing, begging my mother, I don't want to die. I'm only 13 years old. And I ended up dressing in my Sunday best, my Easter dress, because I wanted to look pretty when I am dead, knowing that when they come to slaughter me, there would be no one to bury me. And I remember sobbing, begging my mother, please, I don't want to die. Do something. And there was nothing she could say to me. And I remember her combing my long black hair, and she tied a white ribbon in my hair that matched the white daisies in my dress. And we sat in the corner of the shelter, and my father opened up the Bible and started reading from Psalm. I shall walk into the valley of death and fear no evil,
yes,
for thou art with me.
Mm.
And, you know, they say there are no atheists in foxholes. We ended up, my parents said to me that night, they said, when they come to slaughter us, we will create a distraction. We just want you to run towards Israel and never look back. Because you see, we lived on the border with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I did not have to make that decision that night. Because that's the night when Israel came in physically into Lebanon and set up artillery bases around our town to protect us. And that's how we survived. And that's how
it's a miracle. Is that not a miracle?
What an amazing, amazing story of the deliverance of God. You know, I've been to Israel and I've been to that that border right there. It's Matula. I've been at that border and it's like a stone's throw away. And to know that God used Israel to come in and rescue them. Beautiful. And thank God for Bridget Gabrielle and her story and for the organization that she founded, Act for America. But could this be a prophecy? Could this be a prophetic sign of what could await America? Think about what she said, that Lebanon was a thriving country, opened its borders and allowed Muslims and everyone to come. There was many Christians that were there. But just by sheer multiplication, which is a strategy of the jihadists. And she says that they married multiple wives, had multiple children, and between a 20 and 30 year period, they had a majority. They had more Muslims than they had Christians, which wouldn't have been a problem, but it was in the 1970s that Lebanon, being a nice country, saying, hey, let's just take in these refugees, these Palestinian refugees, even though Muslim countries didn't want to take them. Almost what is happening now, where all these countries in Europe are taking all these people from Syria, these refugees from Syria, and yet Saudi Arabia is not bringing anybody in. None of these, there's like, what's going on? Is this a strategy? And what happened is that the Palestinians got together with the Muslims and they realized, listen, we can attack the Christians. And they went to an all-out war from, I believe, 1975 to 1990 and literally tore Lebanon apart. Could this happen to America? Because we have lax borders, because we just want to bring anyone into our country that doesn't want to be an American? It's part of being an American. When you come to America, you're saying, I'm leaving my country. You're swearing an oath to be an American citizen and to follow the laws of the land. Angela Merkel, who is over Germany right now, she said this about maybe 5-6 years ago, that in the next 20 years, Germany will exist to be a German nation, that all the Muslims that are moving into Europe will pretty much be a majority. Listen, we have to get back to what matters here, you know, and that is a safe and secure border and making sure that we take care of all the Christians that are being persecuted. When we get back from this break, we're going to be hearing what just happened with Secretary of State John Kerry in historic, you know, declaration, because he says, listen, what ISIS has been doing is genocide in the Middle East to the Christians in Syria. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room, there's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com. and click on Partner Now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Amazing. Amazing. What happened? I mean, so many times we're disconnected from history. We can learn a lot from history.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing too. If we like it's been said many times before that if we don't pay attention to history, history's going to repeat itself when we find out that we're repeating history.
Yeah, amazing. Listen, we want you to see what took place. A major thing when the Secretary of State, highest diplomat our country has, declared what ISIS has been doing to the Christians in Syria and officially gave it the designation of genocide and what that actually means. Watch this.
Pushing it right up to the deadline set by Congress, Secretary of State John Kerry said the words Christians and others waited to hear.
In my judgment, Daesh is responsible for genocide against groups in areas under its control, including Yazidis, Christians, and Shia Muslims.
It's a critical first step towards protecting Christians from ISIS and other Islamic radicals in Iraq and Syria.
Every jihadist in the Middle East believes they can kill, kidnap, enslave, and otherwise torture Christians and other religious minorities, and they believe they can do it without repercussions.
In northern Iraq, Assyrian Christians are an ancient people descended from the first followers of Christ.
We are, as Assyrians of the Middle East, we are on the verge of extinction.
Juliana Tamirazi recently visited the town of Telescof in the Nivea Plains of Iraq, where 200,000 Christians have fled from ISIS.
The homes are destroyed. When you walk inside, their closets are all broken, the beds are all overturned. The kitchens are destroyed.
Secretary Kerry's genocide designation helps keep the plight of these Christians near the front of U.S. foreign policy.
Advocates wasted no time celebrating. They're already working with the State Department to make sure Christians are represented in Syrian peace talks and that the property rights of Iraqi Christians forced to flee their homes are enforced.
There are going to be borders redrawn, constitutions redrafted. It's absolutely essential that the Christians have a voice in this process, or they will have no place in the new Syria and in the new Iraq.
There's already an effort to create a safe haven in the Nineveh Plains so that Christians, Yazidis, and other minorities can return home, govern themselves, and rebuild their lives without fear of extermination.
If you care about the presence of Christianity, the Christian witness, in this very gospel-poor part of the world, you will support the idea of a safe haven.
In spite of the horrors they've experienced at the hands of ISIS, Christians in this part of the world are experiencing a revival of their faith.
They have told me repeatedly it is because of persecution that has been inflicted on them that they have grown closer to Christ, that they find themselves praying more, that they're thirsty for the gospel more.
Now the same advocates who pushed for the genocide designation are moving to keep up the pressure to ensure the Obama administration not only talks but acts to protect those persecuted Christians and other religious minorities. They hope to make real progress before the next administration moves into the White House. Jennifer Wishon, CBN News.
Interesting that even in this designation and what they were able to say, that the Secretary of State says, in my judgment, Daesh is responsible. Well, who's Daesh, right? You know, this administration refuses to say radical jihadists, right? Well, would you be surprised to know that Daesh is the acronym for jihadist army. So if we actually read this statement using the word jihadist, it would say, in my judgment, a jihadist army is responsible for genocide against groups in territory under their control. Talking about Christians. It's jihad. Yes, this is what's happened. And so, it's important because now what the genocide designation, if you will, means that Christians now in the area that had to flee to another nation to escape, when the new Syria and new Iraq is formed, they actually now will have a seat at the table and they will make sure that they can have a place where they can go. But it's so many people are celebrating and they're excited about this. And one such person is Mark Burnett. You may be familiar with him because he's in Hollywood and he is the producer of many what they call hit programs like The Shark Tank and a bunch of them, and The Voice and The Apprentice, and I think 10 reality TV show. They say he's the guy who founded reality TV and quite successfully. But him and his wife have been known for helping so many Christians, displaced Christians, and I think they even invested $25 million to help them. Well, they were just interviewed by Glenn Beck, and Glenn had to ask him the question, hey, you're the successful TV guy. What happened? What touched you that you were able to now move in such a great, compassionate way and able to help so many people? You got to hear what he had to say. Very encouraging. Watch this.
You're a guy who, up until recently, has just been kind of, you were the guy who made reality television. What is it that changed in you that made you? Because I know everything that you do now is dedicated to doing good and doing right. What happened?
Yeah, it really shifted on making the Bible series. I think it'd be hard for anyone who's smart to be spending years taking the risk of bringing the Bible to primetime television, which means reading it every day, thinking about it, being part of the church community, to not be affected. It's supernatural. There's a natural world and a supernatural world, and I believe the Holy Spirit is the supernatural part of faith and Christianity, and it affected me. And the good news is, you know, it's a good question, but in the end, that's what it must be, and I'm just glad it happened because it's given me more of a genuine purpose. Yeah, I'm making a lot of hit shows. I mean, like The Voice, Survivor, Shark Tank, all our shows are doing great. But, you know, and I still love doing that. But in my rest of my time, I'm focused on more important things.
Wow. In the rest of his time, he is focused on more important things. That's amazing. I mean, Jesus said, I mean, whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you have done to me. And that's the difference between going through the Bible and allowing the Bible, the Word of God, going through you. There's no way that you cannot be transformed in your thinking and your approach to life. Listen, we want to take this time to pray for you, and we encourage you, please continue to pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. God, we just thank you, Lord, for the amazing opportunity that we have to be with our viewers each and every day. And we want to lift up, Lord, those that are in Brussels right now, God. We pray for your hand of protection. Lord, we ask you to empower the church in Europe, in Belgium, Lord, that out of a tragedy, out of this thing that just destroyed, Lord, life, that new life would emerge, and that your gospel, the kingdom, will advance. Father, we pray for all the Christians, Lord, that have been just slaughtered. And we pray, Lord, for a worldwide move of God, that what the enemy meant for evil, that God, you will turn to good. We ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion and that you would send a third great awakening that will affect the entire nations of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and thank you for watching.
Whether you dine in, pick it up, or have it delivered, Miguel's Mexican Restaurant in Pensacola is an excellent choice for authentic Mexican food. With specials almost every day of the week, you have no excuse. Come on in today. Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than Old Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality, call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. Hearst Family Motors, you've trusted us for 20 years with your current vehicle. Now come see us for your next. Great pre-owned vehicles at a very reasonable price. You'll be happy you checked with Hearst first when buying your new car. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.